that Wes had, I know that Wes had a potential conflict, so maybe and I'm checking in on Sue right now.
Got it. Thank you, John.
Just resent her the meeting details as well.
Thanks, Catherine. We'll just subtract the time that we're waiting from Steve's presentation.
Okay, sounds good.
Oh, that'd be good. Okay.
I'm laughing.
No worries. Okay, I think, John, I think we're going to get moving here. What do you think?
Yes, Catherine, I just got a text back from Sue saying that she can't find the Zoom invite. Can you help her navigate to it? Or I know that you just sent it to her.
I just emailed it to her.
Oh, great. Then let's wait. Let's make sure she's on. Then we don't have to. Actually, we can get through some of the formalities first.
Yes.
Okay, let's do that. Good morning. We're going to call this meeting of the TRPA Legal Committee to order. The date is Wednesday, November 17, 2021. It's approximately 10:32. First item on the agenda is roll call. Catherine, would you please call the roll?
Ms. Williamson?
Here.
Mr. Yates?
Here.
Mr. Rice? Ms. Novosel? Mr. Bruce?
Here.
Mr. Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. And Catherine, would you please take us through the rules for purposes of today's meeting?
Yes. To observe and participate in the meeting, please go to www.trpa.gov, select November 17th, 2021 Governing Board meeting on the calendar, and follow the link to the Legal Committee meeting on Zoom. Members of the public can find all meeting materials there as well. To participate in this Legal Committee meeting with your comments, please use the hand-raising function in the Zoom platform at the appropriate agenda item. With your hand raised, you will be unmuted by TRPA staff and have 3 minutes to address the Legal Committee. If you have called in to listen to the meeting using your phone, you can dial *9 to raise your hand and be unmuted. To committee members, if you wish to speak, please alert the chair via the chat function if you are online, or speak up if you have called in. Remote committee members may only use the chat function to indicate a desire to speak and not to have any sidebar conversations. Please remember to mute your mic unless speaking to cut down on background noise. And finally, please, if all remote committee members could turn on their cameras, as we now have sufficient capacity on the platform to accommodate everyone.
Great, thank you so much, Catherine. Next item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. John, are there any changes?
No changes.
Great, we'll deem the agenda set and approved. Next item, approval of minutes. We have a set of minutes from October 27, 2021 on page 27 of your packets. Do we have any questions, comments, changes to the minutes? Seeing none.
I move the minutes, Mr. Chair.
Great, thank you, Bill. All in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Haley? Are you approving the... Yes, okay, thank you.
Sorry, my mute button. Yes, sorry.
Yeah, no problem.
Hi, Mark. Sorry, guys, I couldn't find my link.
Excellent, you're a perfect time. Perfect timing, Sue. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Sorry, I'm having link issues all morning.
Okay, any opposed on the agenda, on the minutes item? Hearing none, the motion passes. We'll move to item number 3. Resolution of enforcement action, unauthorized material damage to trees. Dana Marlin, Wren Circle, Douglas County, Nevada, assessor's parcel numbers 1418-27-810-013 and 1418-27-810-014. The information for this item can be found on page 153 of your packet. I'd like to pass this over to Steve Sweet to give the staff presentation.
Steve, you're on mute.
Sorry about that. Resolution of enforcement action with Dana Marlin. He's being represented by Mr. Van Verstandig today. It's consent calendar item 13, page 153 in your packet. The violation involves unauthorized material damage to 14 trees located on adjacent properties of 269 Wren Circle owned by Dana Marlin. Can we go to the next slide, please? It's located in the cave rock area of Lake Tahoe. Go to the next slide. And this is a little overview of where it is located in the Cave Rock Estates. The affected neighboring properties are owned by the U.S. Forest Service and Nevada Division of State Lands and are located at the end of Wren Circle in Douglas County, Nevada, located in the area where the red circle there is, the area of disturbance. A short description of the violation. In June 2021, the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency inspected a report of unauthorized tree trimming at the end of Wren Circle on both U.S. Forest Service and Nevada Division of State Lands properties. During the inspection, staff discovered that five trees located on U.S. Forest Service property and nine trees located on Nevada Division of State Lands property, all larger than 14 inches diameter at breast height, had been limbed in the upper two-thirds of the tree's height. After further investigation, go ahead and go to the next slide. This is a close-up version of the two areas, proximate tree locations, and Mr. Marlin's residence. After further investigation and discussing the issue with both Nevada Division of State Lands and U.S. Forest Service, TRP staff determined that an authorized limbing, live limb removal, provided view enhancement from the residence on the neighboring property, and that Marlin would have had the greatest benefit from the view enhancement. As you can see here, the lake is over in this area, and Mr. Marlin's has a lot of windows on this side of the residence, and the limbing of these trees would have created quite a bit of view enhancement. The unauthorized live limb removal of the 14 trees was in violation of TRPA code section. Go to the next slide, please. Oh, actually, sorry, I wanted to show you a few pictures. This is at the end of Wren Circle, looking straight out towards the lake. Mr. Marlin's residence, this is his driveway. And next slide. This is just standing up right next to the edge of the driveway there. And you can see all the trees downslope that would have, that would be between his windows in the lake, were all limbed up too high. Go ahead to the next slide, please. And then this is just a picture showing the same similar limbing on Mr. Marlin's property, a tree in front of his home. And go ahead to the next slide. And so this unauthorized live limb removal from these 14 trees. Sorry about that. Would have violated code section 61.1.5 requiring TRP approval for the cutting, moving, removing, killing, or material damaging of live trees greater than 14 inches. After several discussion with Marlin's representative, Marlin continues to deny any responsibility for the violations alleged, but is willing to enter into a settlement agreement as a compromise for all of the claims. Go ahead to the next slide, please. Pursuant to the attached settlement agreement, Marlin will pay a penalty of $29,000 to TRPA for the unauthorized material damage to the trees. Both Nevada Division of State Lands and U.S. Forest Service are continuing their investigation prior to taking any action as we have to move because they have more of a statute, they have a longer statute of limitations. So staff is recommending that we move forward this with the settlement, with the proposed settlement agreement.
Right. Thank you very much, Steve. Appreciate it.
Sorry, I got a little mixed notes there.
No, it's all good. So I'd like to pass it on to the Wren representative, Wren Circle representative, Mr. Marlin's representative, for any comments.
I don't know if you can hear me or not.
Yes, we can hear you. Thank you.
Oh my gosh, that worked far better than I thought. I've worked fairly extensively with Mr. Sweet to try to arrive at this resolution. My client does deny any culpability or liability, but it is a significant sum of money. It is one Mr. Sweet and others worked fairly hard to negotiate. And in candor, it represents the sum of money that my firm likely would have incurred in legal fees had this not been resolved. Mr. Marlin's eager to move forward. We hope TRPA finds this to be an acceptable resolution. And I'm certainly happy to answer any questions you or any of your colleagues may have.
Thank you. I'd like to, John, do you have anything further before I bring it to the my colleagues for questions?
No, the only thing I would add is that what Steve mentioned is that, and I also see that we have representatives from Nevada State Lands on the call or on the Zoom, and they may be able to speak to this in public comment, but you know, we're really looking here just at the civil penalty and the restoration components on state and federal land will be left to those agents, those responsible entities. So that's why you don't see a restoration component of this settlement with TRPA. It's just the penalty side.
Great, thank you. Okay, Bill, Sue, Haley, do you have any questions or comments?
I have a comment or a question. Did anybody check with the neighbors to see if they had any idea of what company came in and did this?
Yes, I actually spoke with, the Forest Service representative spoke to the neighbor, I believe, directly next to him, who didn't give him any information. And then I spoke to the neighbor two doors down who did not have any knowledge of Mr. Marlin doing the work, but had given me information that had made comments that Mr. Marlin was Mr. Marlin had made comments to him about asking the Forest Service to do some of the tree trimming in the past. So, but he did not see anything, and he was away at the time, came back into town, and the tree trimming was done.
Okay, and that was the thank only you. Comment. Thank you. And Wes, I didn't see that you had joined us, so I apologize for not including you in my inquiry.
No problem. Yeah, you were in the middle of something, so I didn't want to interrupt.
Yeah, thank you, Wes. Thank you for the question. Anybody else with a question? Just jump in. Steve, do we feel like these trees are going to be okay as far as the damage that's been done to them? Are they going to survive?
There's no telling right now. There's one that's pretty fading, probably pretty much dead. It's one of the smaller ones. And so it will, you know, as John said, it will be up to the both the property owners to work with Mr. Marlin now to, you know, get any remediation done on the property.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to close the discussion now for public comment. Catherine, can you take us public comment?
If any member of the public would like to address the legal committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now in Zoom or send a chat message to me and I will unmute you for you to address the legal committee. And Mr. Chair, there are no hands raised to comment on this item.
Great, thanks. I'll bring it back to the committee. Do I have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I make a motion to approve the settlement agreement as shown in attachment A.
Thank you. We have a motion.
Motion to recommend to the governing board approval of the settlement agreement as shown in attachment A.
Thank you very much, Bill. Appreciate that. A motion to recommend, as Bill has indicated. Not seeing any further questions or comments from my colleagues. Can we please call the roll, Catherine?
Ms. Williamson?
Yes.
Ms. Novosel?
Yes.
Mr. Rice?
Yes.
Mr. Yates?
Yes.
And Mr. Bruce?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, that motion passes.
Great, thank you. Okay, we'll move to item number four. Appeal for rejection of appeal of qualified exempt declaration QESZ 2021-0152 and denial of administrative determination request admin 2021-0030, 1600 North Lake Boulevard, Placer County, California, assessor parcel number 94-160-009, appeal file number admin 2021-0033. Sorry. The information on this item can be found on page 223 of your packet. Before we begin the hearing, if any committee member has any ex parte communication with either party, please, or any conflict to disclose, please disclose that now. Do we have anybody that's had any discussion or that believes they may have a conflict? Seeing none. Let's see, I'd like to, at this point in time, ask John to explain to us how the council interaction will be for purposes of this matter. John?
On mute, apologize. You may see that Neera Doherty is present on our slide. The agency has retained her services to act as provide the committee and the full board with general counsel services during the hearing of this item. Because this item really focuses potentially on a lot of communications of mine, as well as my role as staff advocate, we're gonna be separating these two roles. So I will not be serving as your advisor, excuse me, but as a staff advocate in this proceedings, and Neera will be your representation in an advisory capacity. So if you have any questions regarding general advisory items as opposed to fact questions or questions you might ask one of the advocates, you will ask her, and then the latter you'll ask me.
Great, thank you so much for that explanation, John. Thank you for being here with us, Neera. We appreciate it. At this point in time, John, are you going to present for 10 minutes?
I am.
Excellent, thank you.
So this is the appeal of a rejection of an appeal of a qualified exempt declaration and a denial of an administrative determination. We could go to the next slide, please. This is regarding a couple of pieces of adjoining properties on North Lake Boulevard, a little northeast of Tahoe City. Next slide, please. Here are the two slides, the two properties. On the red on the right is the Fialo property, and on the blue on the left is the Polite property. The pier and the boat lift that are mentioned in the papers is the pier that's extending from the Fialo property out, and you can see it looks like there's one boat on a boat lift there. That's the Fialo boat lift. There's a boat lift on the south side, southwest side, which is the Polite boat lift. Can we want one more side, please? This is a lake view of the pier and the two adjoining residences. This was in 2017. And so you'll see the pier, which has been, I believe, remodeled since this time. And there's two boat lifts on the left and the right. Can we advance one slide, please? This is the qualified exempt site map that describes what TRPA approved. We didn't, as with with qualified exempts. If you recall, qualified exempts come into us. There's an attached declaration. Unless we notify the applicant within 5 days, they can go ahead with the activity. And that's because the activity, the only activity that's authorized by a QE, is specifically detailed in both the code and the application itself. And if you'll see that note on the bottom left, that on this site plan, they're only authorized to excavate 3 cubic feet or less, and that it must, all the excavation must be done by hand. Next slide, please. More to the point about the issues in this appeal is really the QE declaration that was stamped by TRPA staff. And you'll notice the language on the bottom left is the recognition that these parties are adversarial to one another regarding access to the boat, lift. And that all this has been done, you know, this matter is being heard in the context of these two parties vehemently disagreeing with each other over their relative rights. We issued the, we stamped the QE. The next day we provided a copy to Mr. Fiallo. We met Mr. Fiallo on site to hear his objections. We had been in discussions with counsel before that time period, and that the Fiallos did not submit an appeal of the Shore Zone Qualified Exempt Declaration within the 21 days set forth in the rules of procedure. It was substantially longer, and so really there's no debate about that. The question, first question for you is there a reason to deviate from our rules to allow this appeal to move forward? And just quickly from staff's perspective, that was set out in the staff report, that we do not see there is any cause to deviate. And you can deviate under our rules of procedure, but it requires a 5-5 vote when we get to the governing board. So like a dual project vote, and that would be rule of procedure 2.4.4D. We do not see that there is a reasonable reason to deviate in this case. We can go through the specifics, which you'll hear, I think, from both counsel, but really it comes down to, for staff, is there a reason to excuse the finding, or excuse me, the missing of the date? And from our perspective, there isn't. Counsel for the Fiallos knew of the appeal possibility. They are aware of the appeal process, and they just didn't file it on time. There is really, if you decide not to proceed with the appeal, then the matter would end at this point. But I do want to discuss just very quickly, if we went on to hear the merits of the appeal, if you decided to deviate, that essentially the two key issues for staff is whether or not we needed an owner signature from the Fiallos for this. And because this QE does not authorize any trespass, and because if the polite interests have demonstrated that they have a sufficient interest for us to move forward in the easement area, that means that they do not need the Fiallo permission to proceed with this. Under our rules, they have a sufficient interest in the adjacent property. About the specifics, because as we've talked about, this QE does not provide authorization to either conduct activities on the neighbor site that they don't already have permission to do, and that they can only excavate 3 cubic yards, and that it has to be done by hand, we do not believe there is any basis to revoke this QE declaration that has been stamped off. That's it for me.
Great. Thank you, John. Appreciate it. We have two council here today, Darren Lemieux, Barry Lee. I'm going to pass this on to Darren Lemieux for 15 minutes, after which Barry Lee will have 10 minutes and Darren will have 5 minutes for rebuttal. Go ahead, Darren.
Great. Thank you, Chairman. Good morning, members of the committee. I assume everyone can hear me okay. Great. And John, thanks for your presentation. I'm just going to jump in. As John mentioned, and as the board or the committee is aware, I represent the Fiallo Family Trust, who owns 1620 North Lake Boulevard. TRPA staff's rejection of the Fiallo's appeal was improper, and we're requesting that the motion to grant the appeal should pass here today. And part of what I want to talk about is really the selective enforcement of TRPA's rules and regulations that have created what I'll call, flawed process and an unjust result for the Fiallo's while rewarding Mr. Polite for engaging in illegal construction. If you could go to the next slide, please, Catherine. When the Fiallo's purchased their property back in 2012, this was what, and John showed a picture of it a minute ago, but this is what the staircase looked like. This was a pursuant to a 1980 easement. This is on the Fiallo's property, but as you see here, this is a provision from the easement that was granted to 1600 that gives them the right, the limited right to use the stairs to access the multi-use pier. That's it. That's all the easement does. After the Fiallo's bought the property, 1600 at the time was owned by the Mettlers, who jointly applied, and you see part of the application here, jointly applied with the Fiallo's to remove that wooden staircase, which was dangerous and inoperative, and the electrical as well, which wasn't even done per code, and to remove it. And this was done with Mettler's consent and their knowledge. And when the stairs were rebuilt, as you'll see in a minute, it was done in a zigzag formation, which was pursuant to the easement, but also importantly, pursuant to TRPA's request to minimize the visual impact from the lake. After these stairs were removed, Ms. Mettler then refused to install electrical for the Fiallo's, which kind of led to part of the dispute that's ongoing in litigation. If you could go to the next slide, please. In 2020, in August, Mr. Polite purchased 1600, and without the Fiallo's permission, without permits, and without plans, he showed up with a construction barge and began to install electrical on the pier. And this is despite the Fiallo's demand that Mr. Polite stop all construction. He did not yield until TRPA issued a stop work order. And more importantly, the Fiallo's went to court and obtained a temporary restraining order. So the reward for this conduct should not be an exemption. It should be to go through permitting and to treat this as a project. And that's assuming that the court ultimately rules that Mr. Polite has the right to do this, which we submit is unlikely in light of the rulings we've received to date. If you could go to the next slide, please. After that happened, after we obtained the TRO, a few days later, Mr. Polite applied for a QE, seeking a qualified exemption to allow him to install electrical to the boat hoist on the Fiallo's property or through the Fiallo's property. And only 4 days after he did that, TRPA informed him on numerous occasions that a QE or a permit would require consent from both property owners, 1600 and 1620. In fact, TRPA informed Mr. Fiallo and both parties that this was the requirement of TRPA, which makes sense because, again, Polite's plans are to go through the Fiallo's property. So I think important here is in March of 2021, TRPA's position was Mr. Polite could not get a QE for work on the Fiallo's property without their consent, which really should have been left there with the litigation that was already pending. Go to the next slide, please. You'll see here in June, TRPA issued a QE to Mr. Polite without the Fiallo's consent and without their knowledge. This is part of what I'm saying when I feel like it's been a moving target and a flawed process. TRPA told the Fiallo's no QE could issue without their consent or authorization, and then apparently reversed itself without telling the Fiallo's. And the staff report merely says that it determined that Mr. Polite has a sufficient interest in the easement area. And when you look at the emails that have been submitted to you all, and I know there's been a lot in the documents, really where that comes from is one of Mr. Polite's lawyers, Mr. Lean, who was advocating behind the scenes the TRPA that they should determine and declare Mr. Polite had a sufficient interest without the Fiala's involvement or knowledge. And, you know, Mr. Lien's opinion is not a legal determination. Again, that's an issue before the court that should be decided by the court. TRPA cannot unilaterally determine where the easement area is or what the party's rights are under the easement, especially when there's ongoing litigation and an injunction that I'll talk about in a minute. But these are issues that are before the court. So let's go to the next slide, please. So right after that first QE was issued, it was rescinded. And I suspect it was likely because within days of that being issued on June 8th, the court that is governing the litigation between the parties issued a preliminary injunction that remains in place today. And what the court found was that Mr. Polite showed up without permission, without permits or proper plans to engage in construction on the Fiala's property, that his plans did not account for existing structures on the Fiala property, that the Fiala's would suffer irreparable harm, and that the Fiala's are likely to succeed on the merits of their claims. So again, TRPA shouldn't be making legal or factual decisions on issues that are before the court. And if you look at the next slide, Placer County did what I suspect, what I submit TRPA should have done, which is when Mr. Polite applied for an electrical permit and they found out about the ongoing litigation and the injunction that's in place right now, they said, let the court figure it out and come back to us when you have a ruling determining what the party's rights and easements are, or excuse me, rights and responsibilities are. And that's what TRPA really should have done in this case. If you go to the next slide. Regardless, TRPA did rescind that the first QE, like I said, just a short time after, likely because of the preliminary injunction that was issued prohibiting any construction from going forward while the parties are in litigation. I was looking at the wrong slide here. But so this is the QE that's issued. Mr. Marshall talked about this, and you know, it has this this caveat on it. But the staff report, in fact, what I'm trying to say, I guess, is TRPA really rewarded Mr. Polite after the court issued the injunction by issuing this QE. And after it was issued on July 2nd, I spoke with Mr. Marshall that day. I understand he doesn't recall the recollection or disputes it. I don't want to, you know, go down too far in that path. But my conversation with Mr. Marshall was, you can't do anything to challenge this QE because it's not a permitted action. Appeals, as you guys know, under the code are from final actions that trigger this 21-day deadline that we're talking about. So he told me because it's not a project, the QE, there's no way to appeal it. And so we told him, you know, that we would be disputing it. And TRPA's position today is that this appeal should be denied because the Fiala's should have appealed despite those representations and despite it not being authorized by the rules. The rules don't authorize an appeal from a qualified exemption. If you go to the next slide, please. Nevertheless, within 48 hours of receiving that conditional QE on July 4th, we took immediate action and objected to the QE. And we explained all the same arguments we've made today. Within 48 hours, we made to Mr. Marshall, believing that we could at least object to the QE to put him on notice that we wanted to challenge it, that it shouldn't have been issued, especially in light of the court's preliminary injunction. You know, to say now that we didn't timely appeal really is form over substance when these arguments, again, were made to TRPA. And there's really no reason to strictly enforce the 21-day provision in light of this, in light of the fact that TRPA's own rules don't contemplate an appeal from a QE, and in light of the representations we received from counsel. So I would submit that this letter could be treated as substantial compliance to the extent that we were supposed to appeal something that the rules say you can't appeal. And I would also point out that the rules haven't been strictly enforced with respect to Mr. Polite. You know, in fact, there's nothing in the rules that allow him to file an opposition that I'm aware of to our appeal. We're the appellant, the appellee is TRPA, and yet he's being permitted to respond here today. The Fiala should be afforded the same type of leniency. If we could go to the next slide, please. This is the QE declaration itself. And I think it's important for the committee to see this because the QE declaration itself says TRPA has broad authority to rescind this thing, that it, they can take any action they deem appropriate if the QE is based on false or misleading information, or if they have any other issue with it. There's nothing in the QE declaration that says you should take an appeal to challenge it. Instead, it says TRPA has the authority to consider and rescind this. So after we received this and after we filed that objection letter 2 days later, on July 7th, Mr. Fiallo did meet with Mr. Marshall, which we appreciate, and explained again his reasons for the objection. Let's go to the next page. And during this meeting, Mr. Marshall agreed to take copies of all the Fiallo's documents and to look into our request that the QE be rescinded. In light of the issues raised in the letter and Mr. Marshall's agreement to meet and consider the issue, there's really no notice that the Fiallos were supposed to appeal to challenge the QE. I mean, had Mr. Marshall simply told us, don't provide me all of this information, if you want to challenge it, file an appeal, I think the evidence shows we certainly would have done that. So when we were hearing earlier that there's no reason to deviate from the 21-day deadline, I would disagree with that. I think the facts here show obvious intent to challenge it. But again, why would Mr. Marshall accept it, all this information, if really the only remedy was an appeal? But again, now we're being told you should have filed an appeal. And it just seems like circular logic aimed at avoiding having to consider whether the QE should have ever been issued. And that's an analysis I still haven't seen in the staff report or Mr. Marshall's comments this morning failed to address. So I think another way to look at this is Marshall did get back to us in July 26th and told us they would not be taking any action. And that could be viewed as tolling that 21-day deadline to the extent it applies. And what I'd like to point out that wasn't in the staff's report is after we received this, we tried to file that request for determination. If the committee recalls, the Calder fire was going on at the time. We tried to file it one time and the TRPA's offices were closed. Another time, the Dropbox, which is inside the offices, as I understand it, we were unable to access it. Then they moved the servers from TRPA or out of TRPA's offices, so we couldn't file online. There's good cause. It's not like we were sitting here doing nothing. And I would ask the committee, what is the harm in a delay? There's been no prejudice or no argument that this has caused any prejudice. If you could go to the next slide, please. So as the staff report pointed out, we did file a request for an admin determination after Mr. Marshall told us he was not going to take any action, which we did by filling out a form on TRPA's website. And in response, TRPA sent the letter that you see here saying they no longer accept requests for determination, and therefore the request was being treated as an appeal and wasn't filed within 21 days of final action and therefore was untimely. So for the third time, we were told, you know, TRPA really isn't interested in whether the statements in the QE are actually false or misleading or about your objections. It feels like no matter which way we've tried to challenge this thing, formally or informally, the answer kept coming back to you can't challenge the QE that way. And I submit, had we filed an appeal on the QE after it was issued, we would have received a letter like this telling us you can't appeal a QE under the rules. But the merits of the Fiallo's complaints were really never reached or considered, and it's still not in the staff report. And I think one thing that's important, in the staff report, it says, well, if the statements are false and misleading, we'll find out when he starts construction. In other words, if he moves more than 3 cubic yards of dirt or can't do it by hand, we'll find out. And I think that's the wrong approach. Again, there is an injunction prohibiting this activity from taking place right now. They shouldn't be issuing a QE, let alone giving Mr. Polite the opportunity to show up again and engage in construction to see if it will violate the code when it obviously will, for the reasons we've outlined in the briefs before you. I'll wrap up here in a second. If you could go to the next slide. And I think it's important to remind the committee of these rules. Again, TRPA staff rejected the Fiallo's explanations, saying that it was akin to arguing an equitable estoppel analysis. But I don't think this committee needs to go there in order to hear the merits of this appeal. The Fiallos are asking this board to invoke its authority to hear this appeal. And as this committee is well aware, under 10.3, it may deviate from its own rules of procedure. And under 10.2, the purpose we're here for is to get to the merits, a speedy, a just, an economical determination. Again, I would argue, I've seen no argument that there's been any harm by the delay that is now being used as a sword to prevent this appeal from being heard. So, kicking this appeal on a technicality, especially in light of the confusion surrounding TRPA's own rules and attempts to challenge the QE, the request for determination form that was on TRPA's website, the Caldor fire, I think would reveal a very flawed process that should concern TRPA, this committee, and their constituents. The inconsistent rule enforcement, should be concerning, as is the seemingly inability to challenge a QE. If you could go to the next slide, please, Catherine.
And Darren, your 15 minutes is up, so okay. Please wrap up.
Thank you, Chairman. I'll wrap up with this. The arguments, we've addressed the actual substance in our briefs, and I would direct the committee to look there. But really, there's four basic reasons the QE should be rescinded when you get to the merits. First, the Fialas never consented. Mr. Polite represented on the application that he had the consent of the neighbor. He doesn't. We've never seen any authority from TRPA how they can issue a QE for someone else's property. Second, it was inaccurate and misleading. If you look at the court's orders that we've attached to the briefs, the court rejected the same arguments, the same evidence that they submitted to get this QE, including the plan. Third, I think this should be treated as a project. I think we all should agree that this should be treated as a project and go through permitting. There's no harm. In fact, that would afford everyone here due process and the chance to be heard if it was treated as a project. You're not going to be digging and lifting 2,000-pound boulders by hand, doing it in less than 3 cubic yards of dirt. The QE is false and misleading. It should be rescinded. I'll save the rest of my time for rebuttal, but I appreciate the committee's time.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Darren, Barry, you have 10 minutes, please.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you all committee members for attending. I represent Mr. Polite, who submitted this qualified exempt declaration back in April of 2021. The goal was to excavate soil to install underground conduit and power to his boat. His boat lift, which is on the jointly owned and used pier that is jointly owned and used with the appellants. Committee needs to understand this entire procedure is necessary because the appellants ripped out the conduit that was already existing when they removed the stairs and didn't replace it. There's a dispute, certainly. The appellants claim that Ms. Mettler wouldn't reinstall it. That's not what the evidence is going to show. But that's why we're here, because the existing electrical was removed and not replaced. The TRPA staff spent 3 months between the time of the submittal before it issued its the QE in July of 2021. And all of the things that you just heard have already been considered by TRPA staff, both before the QE was issued and after the QE was issued. And the QE was issued with two important limitations, which address every issue that the appellants have raised. One, it's limited to no more than 3 cubic yards of soil extraction, which must be done by hand. And two, the QE does not provide my client with permission or authorization to enter the Fialo property unless he already has that permission or thereafter obtains that permission. So this litany of assumptions about what's going to happen on the Fialo property as a result of the QE is simply not true, because it doesn't authorize any work on the Fialo properties. It's beyond dispute that the appeal was late, 63 days after the QE was stamped. On September 1, the appellants filed the notice of appeal, to which was attached an administrative determination form. TRPA rejected it because it was untimely and because it ceased issuing affirmative administrative determination years ago. Now, we agree with and obviously urge the committee to adopt the TRPA staff recommendation that the pending motion be denied. The presentation that TRPA staff made this morning and in its November 10, 2021 staff report address all of the issues and address them very well, cogently and clearly. There is no doubt that this appeal was late, and appellate deadlines are not simple technicalities. And the notion that you can be excused from meeting a deadline because you contact TRPA staff and try to engage them in a conversation would make an open season for everybody to do that and say, no, I spoke to TRPA, so I didn't have to meet the 21-day deadline. I think it also is pretty obvious. The appellants here have been represented both by an attorney and by Agen Consulting Corporation throughout this entire process. They know what the rules are. They just didn't follow them. I want to just address very quickly some of the slides that counsel that were just presented, because there are certain misstatements and misimpressions left. And Ms. Hangeland, if I could ask you to put up Mr. Appellant's slide number two. The special conditions that are highlighted was to remove an existing pier access stairway and landing system, not to remove the electrical that was under the stairway. But that's what the Fialos did in any event. There is a quote of the easement grant above there, paragraph four, but of course, what's not quoted is the 1985 amendment to that easement, which I'll get to in a moment. The next slide. This is part of the constant misimpressions that the appellants have made both in the court and to TRPA. That barge, that was there for Mr. Polite's revetment project, which was approved. And yes, there was a stop work order, but it had nothing to do with the pier. It had to do with the need for a pre-inspection, pre-grade inspection, which one was then conducted. It had nothing to do with electrical work or the pier. Slide four, please. The non-highlighted portion of the first email to Ms. Edwards from Ms. Good, it says, as far as any modifications to the pier, it doesn't talk about trenching or excavation being done on the Polite property with respect to the need for consent. I would ask next for slide six, please. What's not so cited in appellant's presentation is the court's ruling on page four, lines 5 to 7, which explicitly acknowledges that the Polite parcel has an implied easement to install electrical as a result of the 1985 amendment. In addition, what is not highlighted in the second portion, the paragraph to the right, is the most critical language of the injunction. What's prohibited is work that could compromise the structural integrity of structures on the property, that is on the Fialo property. That's all that's prohibited. And this notion that all of the permits and applications were submitted to the court is simply not true. The court was saying you haven't submitted any of your permits or applications yet, which we are in the process of doing. There was a slide about, we don't need to go to it, there was a slide about a permit to Placer County Building Department. We have been in discussions with them. They have asked for more detail on the plans, and that's what we're providing. And that's for Placer County's building department to issue the electrical permit. That's not, we understand that's not TRPA's responsibility. At the end of the day, if you look at slide 14, it's the one that says, at least it's my 14, it says, TRPA must rescind. Yeah, that one. The only statement of those four bullets that is correct is the first one. Every one of those other statements is incorrect. So with that, I don't want to take up more of the committee's time. We urge the committee to accept the staff's recommendation to deny the motion. And of course, if there are any questions of me, I'll be happy to answer them. But this has gone on long enough. And there needs to be a stop to it now. Thank you.
Thank you. Darren, you have 5 minutes for rebuttal.
I,
Thank you, Chairman. I'll be brief as well. I think, again, I'll go back to what I said. The reward for illegal construction, which is what the court found, if you look at the injunction, there is an injunction in place that precludes them from doing anything on the Fiala's property. The reward for that shouldn't be an exemption. It should be he engaged in illegal construction, showed up with plans and permits. If he wants this, he should go do a permitting process. There's no harm to go through the permitting process. And it does have, the fact that it was issued has been problematic because they have been waving this around, trying to weaponize it in the litigation, which goes back to my point that TRPA should not be getting involved in ongoing litigation. It should stand down. There's an injunction, a court order in place that could be violated here and that prohibits them from doing that. And TRPA should stand down until the court rules. On the technicality point, this isn't the United States Supreme Court. We're interested here in getting to the merits of the appeal. I think the merits here that still haven't been addressed, other than being called false, are whether or not those statements are true and correct in the QE, and they're not. If you look at the court order, again, it was granted in our favor, found that we're likely to succeed on the merits of our claims. It did not say they have an implied easement. That argument was rejected, which is why the TRO was and the preliminary injunction was issued. They did not meet their burden. And they did submit plans, the same plans that are submitted to the QE declaration from Whittles. Those are the same plans the court rejected. And the court gave them months to come up with new plans. By the time the TRO was entered in March, I think the injunction was June. And part of that delay was the court saying, fine, go show me proper plans and come back. They failed to do that. They still haven't. He said they're still working on it. It's November. So that hasn't happened. But to claim that there's an implied easement is categorically false. I think I'll wrap up with this. Again, this should be treated as a project. It's a sufficient amount of work. And if I could please, Catherine, if you could go to slide 15 real quick. I didn't get here before, but I want to conclude with this. Thank you. There's also the loss of exemption that TRPA and this committee can also invoke here, which is if a project that was granted a QE is going to have a substantial impact on the land, then it can lose that exemption status. And that's exactly what should go here is TRPA should stand down until the court rules on what the party's rights and remedies are. It's obvious sitting here before you today, there's numerous legal issues and disputes. TRPA should not be involved. It should stand down. But once the court does rule, if it rules implied favor, which it says unlikely, then this should be a loss of exemption and they should go through the permitting process. You can look at that revetment wall and those boulders, they're not going through that by hand. They're not removing less than 3 cubic yards of dirt. And that's exactly what the court found. So I would thank the committee for your time. I would implore you to vote to grant the appeal and to request that the board rescind the QE. Thank you.
Hey, John, I'm gonna bring this back to you. Do you have anything further?
No, with only this as you can see from the vigor and strength of both these attorneys' presentations is that staff's issue is how to navigate between parties like this. And what you see in this record is, first of all, staff attempting to do that, and then it essentially when the lawyers get involved, I get involved, and it's how do we approach these different, because we have this situation a lot. And here the key determination was there a sufficient interest in the easement to move the QE forward? And, that was essentially my determination based on the representations of all involved. And there was a substantial disagreement. But really the QE is focused on just that grading. All TRPA was doing here was authorizing grading, not necessarily the electrical work because that's for the county to deal with. So the question is, was the, if you get to the merits, the question is, did TRPA appropriately use the QE to authorize up to three cubic yards of grading by hand? And they can't grade mechanically. They've got to keep it to 3 cubic yards or else they need to come in and get a permit. And if it turns out that they can't do this permit or they can't do this activity without grading more than 3 cubic yards, then they'll have to come in for a permit. That's all.
Okay, thanks, John. I'm gonna bring it back to the committee. I'm gonna ask if you have any question, if you have questions or comments, please either raise your hand or jump in. I'm gonna start with Bill. Because I don't see any hands.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I appreciate what John Marshall said. It seems like why the QE was issued was to try to not. I mean, the fact of the matter is, even though a TRO and a preliminary injunction have been issued, it hasn't been issued against TRPA. So we were left with an application for a QE, which we've restricted to the limits of the QE, which is a maximum of three cubic yards to be, and you're not allowed on the Fiallo's property. And the dispute here as to what rights Mr. Polite has on access to a pier, which appear, at least from what I've seen in the record, appears to be a multiple pier that was entered into, which had at one time two boat lifts and electrical operation for both boat lifts. So I just think the staff tried its best to just proceed with the QE, and if Mr. Polite could satisfy that, then that wouldn't require a permit. Then it gets to this question of was an appeal filed? Well, no, it wasn't. I mean, on an appeal form that's set forth in our rules, then it wasn't filed. So I just think that we just deny the appeal. Leave the parties to argue their differences over who has rights to access and things like that. And if in fact Mr. Polite can't do the what's required under the QE, then the very nature of the QE will prohibit him from doing any further action. So that's where I find myself on this issue.
Okay, thank you, Bill. Sue, Wes, anybody, Haley, anybody else?
No, I'll just jump in real quick. Oh, sorry, yeah. Wes.
That's all right.
Thank you. I tend to agree here with Mr. Yates in that from what I've heard, it sounds like what TRPA has done is legal, and what we've tried to do is do our due diligence of how we permit something. I think the issue of the appeal being too long. When we talk about Caldor, I was in Caldor, and it started in the basin on August 30th. So that was one day before the letter was written. So I don't see where that has any relevance. But I do also want to say that I agree that, you know, when we're talking about just an electrical system to go to a boat lift, that it sounds like what we have done with our agency is proper.
Just
leave it at that. Thank you.
Thanks, Sue. Wes?
Yeah, I concur with Mr. Yates also. I think that this is a matter that is going to be finally adjudicated in the courts, and I see no reason for us to muddy the waters any further.
Haley, anything?
Thanks, Chair. I think Mr. Yates laid it out succinctly. I also think that my fellow committee members have expressed the position I find myself in as well. I think I can't say it any better than they did, and I agree wholeheartedly with the position they find themselves in.
Okay, I do have a question or two of John. So, John, when we issue a QE, does Steve go out and check to make sure that the limitations that are set forth in the QE are not being exceeded? And in a situation like this, where it's highly disputed.
No, QEs are not, there's no pre-inspection for QEs. That's, you're just authorized once the QE is stamped to go forth. There's no pre-inspection required. I don't know, Steve, if Steve's on the line, he can also answer that question.
Yes, no pre-grade inspection required for a QE. We would go inspect these based on, typically based on complaints, or if we're in the area and see, you know, maybe it's a project we're not familiar with, we might stop by, but there's
okay, no. Okay, so let me ask you this question then. If the Fialos were to submit a complaint that they're exceeding the QE, is that something we would typically promptly go and review?
Yes. Okay. Yes, we inspect all complaints.
Okay, so there is procedure in place that if there is an if they do exceed this QE, that there would be potential ramifications, including potentially even withdrawing the QE. Is that correct?
Yes. Go ahead, Steve.
I guess yes. My point here is that I agree with Bill and what others have said, but there's a lot going on with respect to this dispute. And I want to make sure that our limitations with respect to this QE are treated very seriously. Because I feel like if they aren't, then it should be withdrawn.
If they're not, then they will be shut down, and you know that's also a violation. And then either they will be shut down, and they'd have to move forward with a permit if they wanted to move forward with that activity that leads to more than 3 cubic yards.
Right, and
if I could. Could I just correct one thing just for the record? And sure. That is, Bill, I think in your assessment, you accurately reflected everything except that the QE, if they already have a right to go on the property, and as you indicated, they are currently enjoined from doing so unless they can meet the conditions of the preliminary injunction, that the QE would allow excavation by hand in that easement area. I think you might have just unintentionally, but mischaracterized that a little bit. But I just wanted to correct that for the record. Doesn't change any, I don't think it changes any of your analysis, but to make certain that the record is fine. I also noticed that Mr. Fiala has his hand up, but we'll get to public comment and you can comment at that point, Mr. Fiala.
Okay, any other questions or comments? Okay, at this point in time, I'd like Catherine to take us to public comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If any member of the public would like to address the legal committee on this item, please raise your hand or send me a chat now, and I will get you queued up to address the legal committee. We do have a hand raised, Mr. Helio Fialho. If you go ahead and unmute, you can address the committee.
Am I going to be on, am I on camera as well or just on voice?
Voice at this point.
Great, yeah. Thank you very much. And thank you for the committee, by the way, for taking the time to listen to both councils. Although I wasn't planning on speaking today, but after hearing opposing councils' dialogue and the insanity that came out of his mouth, I really feel that I need to speak up. First of all, no electrical was ever, as he stated, ripped out. It was removed as per both the revetment project on my property that was approved by TRPA and per the authorized permit that was for the renovation of the pier, which was approved both by my family and by Mr. Metlow's family, which was the predecessor to Mr. Polite. Furthermore, he goes on to state that the 1985 amendment somehow gives him the right to install electrical. The 1985 amendment, that if this committee takes the time to actually read it, nowhere in the agreement does it ever stipulate that they are authorized to run any electrical out to the pier. As a matter of fact, what it does stipulate is that they have to run electrical to run my boat lift, not theirs, but mine. Okay, so that is stated incorrectly. And then the unbelievable assertion that Mr. Greg Lean made that states that they have sufficient interest on my property because of the easement is a complete, complete fallacy. The actual easement speaks to only one thing and is fully limited. If you take the entire agreement from the recitals to paragraph one to paragraph four, specifically limits the only use that he's authorized to do on my property is to walk on the stairs to ingress and egress the pier. There is nothing in any of the two agreements that allows them to even have sufficient interest on my property. And if this committee believes that, then I think we probably do need to move forward, as was potentially suggested, that right now TRPA is not enjoined in any fashion. But if we have to go there, then that's what we have to do. And I find that sad that we have to even be talking or discussing this matter. Because the facts, if the committee would have read all 138 pages, they would have known that we were correct. My meeting with John Marshall, he knows for a fact that that can't be done by moving only 3 cubic yards. Him and I sat there on my property and calculated that the total amount was 3.8 cubic yards. And then he has the audacity to say to me, oh, we don't quite measure that at 100%. And he made the insane comment about the 2,000-pound boulders that, oh, maybe if he hires a bunch of Samoans, they can do it by hand. Really? Is that the kind of people that we have to deal with? And the kind of BS that is sent out and discussed? I'm sorry that I'm kind of animated at this point, but this is personal. And there's no reason that this committee should allow Mr. Polite, under the circumstances, any qualified exemption to even step onto my property to do any electrical work. And for that matter, to dig through my revetment project that took me 5 years to get past and to get through TRPA. And for them to come in and just now go digging on my property, completely not fair. Thank you.
Catherine, is there anyone else?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No other hands were raised and there are no chat requests to make any further public comment.
Okay, thanks. John, can you please address any part of the public comment you feel is appropriate?
No, the only, if the committee wants to hear the story of how another lakefront owner hired a number of Samoans to move boulders, they're welcome to. I can do that, but that's about the only thing that I need to respond to.
Okay. So let me ask you this. As part of the decision that we're making here, John, that there is an actual easement interest that allows this to occur, are we making that decision independently of anybody else?
I'm going to defer that to NERA, because I think that's an advisory question that I shouldn't advise you on in my advocacy role. NERA, can you address that?
Absolutely. Excuse me. Thank you. NERA Dougherty on behalf of the board. Good to see you all. I think the answer to that, Chair, is no.
Okay. The can you explain that for us? Okay.
Yeah. So the issuance of a qualified exemption does not authorize the work to occur. It simply exempts from further TRPA review the work. And in order for the work to occur, the applicant still has to possess all the requisite authority to do the work. And that
includes independently of our decision, correct?
That's right. They still need to obtain building permits, electrical permits, other county, city, and special district permits to enable certain work to occur. And this is anecdotal. I don't know what the county is imposing here in terms of electrical and building permits, but TRPA does not exempt any other requisite authority by issuing a qualified exemption, nor does the issuance of a qualified or the confirmation of a qualified exemption authorize a permit, a applicant to not have to proceed with authority with respect to access or property interests. And so, okay. Yeah, that's
so. So when the comment is made that we're allowing someone to go dig out somebody else's property, that's not what this QE is allowing to happen. Is that correct?
That's right. And I think staff's role in issuance of a QE is not to interpret pending judicial proceedings and to interpret disputes as between property owners.
Okay. Thank you, Neera. Does any other committee member have any question of Neera? Okay. Seeing none. Hearing none. Unless there's other questions or comments, do I have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I would make a motion to deny the appeal, a recommendation that the board deny the appeal when this matter is before the board.
Okay, we have a motion. I don't see any questions or comments on the motion. Catherine, would you please take the roll?
Ms. Williamson?
Yes.
Ms. Novosel?
Yes.
Mr. Rice?
Yes.
Mr. Yates? Mr. Yates, you are muted.
Pardon me, yes.
Thank you, and Mr. Bruce?
Yes, and I want to thank both of the parties and their counsel for being with us today. And this matter will be heard in front of the board. Okay, I'd like to move to item number 5. John, are we skipping 5 or are we proceeding with 5?
We're proceeding with 5.
Okay, so Catherine, could you take us, let's see, we need to make a motion here to go into closed session. Do I have a motion? Do I have a motion for that?
So moved.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. Catherine, could you please send us the link?
Mr. Chairman, I have to leave. I have a conflict and I will be back probably an hour late to the regular meeting.
Understood. Thank you very much, Wes.
See you then, Wes.
Okay, committee members, you will be moving to a breakout room for the closed session. Any other attendees to the committee meeting, we will reconvene at the next agenda item.
Hey, Jeffy.
Sorry. I was trying to get my phone to turn on.
That's pretty interesting, huh?
Yeah, that was a tough one, for sure.
Probably being recorded still, so
we are actually. All right, dude. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
There she goes. I think Catherine.
Yeah, I think muted. We're all here. Mark, you're on mute.
All righty. Thank you very much. So, John, I assume we're skipping number six. Direction for five?
Correct. No actions for item stemming from item five.
Thank you. Item number seven, committee member comments. Any committee member comments? If so, please jump in verbally. Hearing none. Public interest comments. Catherine, we are now on our final item for the morning's meeting, public interest comments. If any member of the public wishes to address the legal committee, please raise your hand now in the Zoom platform, be unmuted by TRPA staff. And Catherine, if you could take us through that, that'd be great.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There are no hands raised to make a public comment.
Thank you. So we will deem public comment closed and we'll move to item number nine, adjournment. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Mr. Chairman, I move we adjourn.
All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, we are adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you. So we're now going to the governing board meeting.